Well, bless your beautiful hearts. Let's take our Bibles and go to Deuteronomy chapter 30. I'm starting a teaching series. Actually, I started it last week. I didn't know I was starting it, but Connie did. on redirect yourself to a more fruitful life. As we pursue and redirect ourselves to a fuller, more fruitful life, there are certain spiritual laws and facts we should be aware of and their interrelationship one with another that will help us. These factors or truths or spiritual laws are free will, the law of believing, and authority, the believer's authority, because these aspects play a significant part in our walk of power and victory through Christ in living the more abundant life. At times, these spiritual laws and factors may overlap one another, and at times they even cede to one another in priority. But as with all spiritual truths, they're simple, but not necessarily simplistic. I thought I'd like to start today on free will as we get into this. So let's begin this. Free will is the ability or discretion to choose, to deliberate and exercise options, to make discretions, or to have the right to accept or reject. Here in Deuteronomy 30, we'll start in verse 19. It says, I call heaven and earth to record this day against you. It's not, you know, this is, you know, we think of against as being opposed to you, but that's not what it means. It's just setting the foundation. Here's the type of day that you live in. That's what he's telling us. There are options in this day. Some are good, some are bad. Some will lead to life and some will lead to death. And this is the type of world and the type of day that you live in. That's what he's talking about when he says, I record this day against you. This is the day you live in. That I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life. That both thou and thy seed may live. Verse 20, and here is the reason for free will, that thou mayest love the Lord thy God, and that thou mayest obey his voice, and that thou mayest cleave unto him. For he is thy life, and the length of thy days, that thou mayest dwell in the land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give them. So here we have this wonderful promise of God. This is the type of world we live in. There is blessing and there is cursing in this world. And like any good parent, God gives us a lesson and instructs us on the good choices to make. These are the things that you're going to be up against because this is the day and the world in which you live. But I am going to assist you and give you instruction and help you, but it's your choice. You have free will. I'm going to grant you free will. And the reason he grants us free will is because it would be impossible to love without free will. See, from a purely human point of view, no relationship can succeed without free will. Can you imagine if and how unfulfilling life would be if your children had to love you? See, it's that free will choice and love, and to choose love, that gives life a zest, that gives life a vigor, that makes life vibrant and wonderful. Isn't it beautiful when your child sits down and or comes into the room and says, "Mommy, this is the picture I made for you." And there in the picture, you know, there's your house, and there's these stick figures, there's Daddy, and there's Mommy, and there's me, and there's little Jimmy, you know. And you get so blessed because, "I love you, Mommy, here, this is for you." If your child had to do that, what vibrancy, what zest would you find in that? God realizes, because God is love, and he knows the blessings of love and enjoys the blessings of love, wants us to be able to, one, receive love, and number two, give love so that you may enjoy the wonderfulness and the vibrancy and the beauty of it. See? Imagine if you had to command your children, "Go in your room and draw me a beautiful picture and show me how much you love me." Yeah, that would take the zest out of life. But our hearts are lifted up when she just takes a crayon and makes this picture of your house and all of that and says, "I loved you. I made it for you." Well, again, as any good parent, God not only allows a free will choice, but also gives us lessons and instructions on making good choices. Again, in Deuteronomy 30, verses 19 and 20, God tells us what is good and what is right. And he tells us and instructs us to choose life. And he tells us how to choose life by listening to and obeying him. Now, not only do we have free will, and certainly God has free will, because God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. It's not God's arm was so twisted by humanity that he relented. No, he just so loved. Well, the angels also have free will to choose. These created spirit beings, there's, I guess, seraphims, cherubims, some people include them all as angels, however you want to look at it. I'm not really sure if there's separations, but they're all created spirit beings, have this wonderful option of free will. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 14. In Isaiah 14, and I'm just going to show you this one, but there are other places you can look and see that angels have been sent on specific missions and things, and they did it by their free will, and they exercised their free will to do this and different things that they did. But here in Isaiah chapter 14 and in verse 12, it says, "How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning," or morning star, or star of the morning. Lucifer was an angel. He's still spirit, and he still exercises certain powers that he received as spirit. "How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into the heavens. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High." Well, sounds like he had an eye problem. I. But the point is, I will, meaning he had to have free will. He had the option to choose what he would like to do. And his choices were on the negative side. I will, I will, I will. Which means then that all spirit beings had the option to choose. Did Lucifer have choices? Yes. But for his choices, he took those that lead to cursing and ultimately death. And apparently, he was also able to convince one-third of these created spirit beings to follow him and make the same choices that he made. So he has to be very persuasive. Well, what about Jesus? Did Jesus have free will? Could he make choices? Well, let's look at the Gospel of John, chapter 6. See, an intricate part of the things that God set up from the beginning, and God is love, included free will choice. In John chapter 6, and we'll start in verse 38, it says, and here's Jesus speaking, "For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me." So it shows there are two wills, and what he was instructed to do and what he decided to do. And this is the will which hath sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up the last day. So did Jesus have free will? Absolutely. he came not to do his own, so he must have had his own will, but he decided to do the will of the Father, him that sent him. He not only chose life for himself in that choice, but he also chose life for us, that we might have everlasting life. Isn't that beautiful? See, at times, knowing this day that's against us, the things that are in this day, at times we may wish we didn't have free will. You know, God, just make me do this. You know, God, just get me through this kind of thing. But how would love be without free will? We have the option to do the will of God because we so love him. We have the option to follow Jesus Christ and be disciples of him because we so love him. He so loved us, and we so want to love him back. See, without free will, love really could not exist. God so loved, and he chose and gave free will so that we can choose to love him back. Look at Deuteronomy. Let's go back to Deuteronomy, but this time let's go to chapter 7 to examine this. But you will see how important free will. Sometimes it seems like a disadvantage that we have free will. God, why did you allow me to choose? I make such stupid choices. Well, we just need to read more of God's word so we have a better scope of the right choices to make. They're listed in here for us and set forth for us. But I understand that. At times I feel like, gosh, you know, wish you just showed me along in some of these things. But in Deuteronomy chapter 7, we'll start in verse 6. It says, "For thou art an holy people unto the Lord thy God. The Lord thy God hath," what? Chosen thee. Free will. There it is. "He hath chosen thee to be a special people unto himself above all the people that are upon the face of the earth." Is he allowed to have discretion? Yes. That's part of free will. Are we allowed to have discretion? Yes, that's part of our free will. It's in the package. And God exercised that, and we have the right to exercise the same thing. You know, what's that verse about corrupt associations? What is that?
Evil associations,
corrupt good manners. So do you have the discretion to not have evil associations? Yes. Here it is. God did it. The Lord did not, verse 7, the Lord did not set his love upon you, nor choose you, because you were more in number than any other people, for you were the fewest of all people. Seems like it's still the same way today, but because the Lord, what? Loved you, and because he would keep the oath which he had sworn unto your fathers, hath the Lord brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you out of the house of bondmen from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and redeemed you from the adversary's kingdom and gave you citizenship in his, is what Philippians tells us about us. We were bondmen in this world where the day was against us, in this period when the day was against us, but he, through Jesus Christ, lifted us up and out just the same way he redeemed Israel from the Egyptians and set them free. Beautiful. See, at the basis of free will is love, but even love is a free will choice. We can respond back in love by our choice, by our discretion, or we can decide not to by our disobedience. There are situations and circumstances in life, however, under this this grand factor of life, or this grand spiritual truth, free will, there are situations and circumstances in life where people may be incapacitated or unable to make proper decisions or fairly exercise their free will. But God covers for that through the overlap of authority, which we will get into at another point. But we're going to cover these free will, the law of believing, and authority, and they do overlap and intercede for the protection of innocence that God has also set up. He set this beautiful freedom of will so that we would have the option and the opportunity and the blessing to love, but there can be negatives because of choices that are made. But if we have the, if we are not really capable mentally, physically, however, to make the good choices, God still covers because these great factors overlap. And we'll get into the authority and the law of believing at a later time. But people who are mentally challenged, in cases some are physically disabled, or children in that they haven't learned enough, they don't know enough, are covered. And even where we are under another supervision or authority, that can be by our choice or forfeited to others' free will. So there are different things that God allows for and covers for when our free will cannot be fully exercised in a proper way. Really beautiful. Like in 1969, I was drafted and inducted into the United States Army. And I assure you, that was not a choice of my own. I received a letter that said, "Greetings from your friends and neighbors and the President of the United States. And you have, by, you know, your friends and neighbors have been chosen to serve in the United States Army." And I didn't really have much of an option there. But as I went and went down and I was inducted into the Army, my free will choices became severely limited because I submitted to another's authority. One was the authority of my neighbors to offer me as part of the United States Army under the draft. Now it's pretty much, you know, you can sign up for it. But when you sign up, even today, where you can volunteer to be in it, you are then making yourself subject by your free will to another authority. For instance, like in mine, my choices on what I could do and where I could go and how I would conduct myself were severely limited. I had to wear a uniform. I didn't really have an opportunity to dress the way I would like to. You know, other things, especially in 1969 when everybody's hair was down to their rear end and mine doesn't get long, mine just gets wide. You know, their decision was that my hair should be shaved off, and they certainly took exercise that option. Not option, that command. Because of that and placing myself under their authority now, I had limited myself on the free choices that I could now make. Especially as a private, you really had very little free will choices. You were told when to go to bed, when to get up, what floor to clean, and what hole to dig, where to run, where to stop, and a number of other different things. However, as I increased in rank, my authority and responsibility started to enlarge, and I gained more personal discretion than decision-making. And I also started to have certain decision-making over the company in which I served because of my rank. But it was all within the framework of the U.S. Army's regulations, and it increased my love. It did increase my love for my country, the time I had in service, as I submitted myself willfully to our national needs. And some of the decisions to comply with decisions they had made, regulations they had done, and training that they had given me saved my life in a number of occasions. Similarly, it's true in the body of Christ. As we make ourselves subject unto the ministries of God, or the ministries God has set forth for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, and for the edifying of the body of Christ, we will enrich ourselves and enrich the decision-making that we can exercise by our free will and receive back the light and love of God through those ministers and how they freely dispense it. Look at Romans chapter 13. See, there is a tremendous connection between free will and love. And the exercising of free will out of love is a blessing that God has set for the body of Christ as well as for mankind. In Romans chapter 13 and verse 1, it says, "Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God, and the powers that be are ordained of God." A lot of the translations that you'll read give this as the government. I don't believe that that's what God's talking about, or the police department. I don't think that God set up the Nazi party and that we should make ourselves subject to it, as a number of other things that are inappropriate. But it's let every soul, when it comes to the things of God, let every soul, and the soul is used to emphasize the depth of your heart with all of your will, be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power. The word power here is exousia, or authority, but of God, and the authorities, the powers, exousia, authorities to exercise power over an area of responsibility that be are ordained of God. This is the instruction that we get as believing ones in the body of Christ. When it comes to the word subject, I think the definition of subject, the Greek word is hupotasso, to place under. And a number of years ago, in regard to wives submitting yourselves unto your own husband, this word hupotasso appears. The definition was given, I think, with the finest clarification of this Greek word, hupotasso, giving it wonderful insight, meaning lovingly obedient by your deliberate decision and proper arrangement. I think that's a wonderful, very clear and beautiful definition of this word, hupotasso. It's by your free will choice that you lovingly obey by your deliberate decision, free will, and the proper arrangement. Remember, I was sharing when I was in the military, I had responsibilities. I could make certain decisions, but I had to work within the framework of the United States Army regulations. God has this beautiful thing where we are to lovingly submit ourselves one to another and submit ourselves to these ministries in the body of Christ by our loving obedience and deliberate decision and proper arrangement in the framework that God has set for the body of Christ and the way that it ought to function and the way that it should function. Really beautiful. The higher powers here is speaking of the ministries in the church, those of apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers, then helps and governments and various things that are set up beautifully by God. We are to, by our free will choice, with our whole heart, place ourselves in subjection to them. And if we do it with love, we will receive back the benefits of these ministries. Like, for instance, an apostle who brings new light, like to an evangelist that helps us understand our position and responsibilities in Christ, of pastors who help us in times of need and injury or when we're hurt, and teachers who help us really gain some great understanding. See, this free will choice God so lovingly and graciously blessed us with is so powerful that even the evil spirit realm has to respect it. This free will is so dynamic and so powerful that even the evil spirit realm has to respect that free will, in the sense that what they endeavor to do then is to be so sly and to be so subtle that it tricks us into giving up our free will through the choices we make. See, that's why the evil spirit realm works with such great subtlety to trick people, slyly intrigue and educate men and women in perversions. And when I mean perversions, the word perverse means to twist out of shape. In other words, it's no longer useful for what it was originally intended. We see that in pornography, where they take something that God set for the pleasure and blessing of humankind, and even animals, I suppose, but it's twisted to where it doesn't function the way it was designed to and bring about the blessing that was supposed to be there. A lot of other things. Things that, the scriptures tell us how often, be not afraid. But then we have these education where it takes us to these movies and thrillers and all these different things to scare us and we sort of like that feeling, but then it twists what God designed to be something pleasurable and something useful to us, and twists it out and makes it into a perversion. Like, for instance, a movie or a poem can be a great blessing to someone. A song can be a wonderful, enjoyable thing. But when it gets twisted, and we're talking about, you know, hurting someone, or we're talking about being mean to someone, or mistreating people, then it's educating us and twisting that which was designed to really be something sweet and beautiful and to enhance our lives into something that's much more devil. Paintings, a lot of times, paintings are to encourage and enhance nature, the refinement and fineries of life, not twist them and pervert them into things, that are not profitable for us to, but they do it in such a way that it's trickery. You know, they can talk you into anything, and that's what they endeavor to do. And then our children go to school and they're starting to learn some of these things and wanting to experiment with some of these things, because these are the people that we've decided to place in authority, and we've given them the authority, and now they're giving instructions from a different realm, and it's twisting the minds and hearts of our children to something that will be unpleasurable and unfruitful for their lives. That's why we want to redirect ourselves to a fuller, more fruitful life, and that is by obeying the Word of God and bringing ourselves subject to it, because we so love it. We see the beauty of it. We see the fruitfulness of it. We see Jesus Christ healing people. Your heart has to just so love him. We see the way that Jesus Christ loved people and cared for people, and we just so love him for it. Because we see the beauty of it. We see the kindness of it. Things that in the Judean religion that got twisted out of shape by the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the scribes, and so forth. And then furthermore got taught to the people that made them hard-hearted one toward another. And we see the way that Jesus changed those things back to show the love and the goodness and the kindness and the fruitfulness of God. It just inspires love in our hearts for him, see? Well, what we want to do is have the corresponding blessings of life. Blessings in life. What they endeavor to do is twist it away from those blessings of life to cursing and death. We ought to maintain our power base for life and blessings, which starts with our free will choices, and maintain it. Let's go to the 119th Psalm. I want to show you this here, because David concluded this in Psalm 119, and I wanted to show you his conclusion, because he sought after life and blessings and to move away from cursing and death. And so much of life, we see it particularly in our society, where people curse themselves, make assumptions about themselves. Oh, I'm so stupid. Oh, I'm this. I'm so weak. I am this and I am that. And they start cursing themselves when God built such great strength into human nature even. But the adversary comes in again and perverts it and twists it, takes it away for that it was originally intended, and causes hurt. And in Psalm 119, verse 133, this may be a familiar verse to you in some ways, it says, Order my steps in thy word, and let not any iniquity have dominion. And that's the word for authority in the Old Testament, over me. Order my steps in thy word, and let not any iniquity have dominion over me. So can iniquity have dominion, authority over you? Sure. Again, it's free will choice, but our free will is to place ourselves subject to God, place ourselves subject to his word, to be lovingly obedient by a deliberate decision and proper arrangement. We decide that we're going to be that so that not any iniquity will have dominion or authority over us. You see, if you are losing your free will in an aspect of life, then you should seek some help. You should get deliverance because God is so very willing to set you free. And there are capable ministers who know and walk with his delegated authority and power. We are to have dominion over the evil spirit realm through Jesus Christ. By your free will, choose victory. Now, there are other aspects in these spiritual laws and factors, like the law of believing and our authority in Christ, and they do have an interrelationship, and we'll go further. Next week, we're going to take a closer examination of the law of believing that is offered by God for mankind for their benefit and blessing. God bless you.